Hello everybody, my name is Mon, and this is Mon's Gadget Talk for Wednesday, 13th of July, 2022. In today's episode, we've got plenty of things to talk about. Nothing Phone 1 kind of came out. Obviously, that finally launched. And, quick hint, it's coming next week, so that's pretty cool. And can't wait for that, in a way. On top of that, we got other things to talk about. This past week has been quite interesting. First of all, it was Eid al-Adha, so again, a belated Eid Mubarak to all of you listening. And hope you had a wonderful Eid al-Adha, or as I call it, Bakrid, because again, it's a couple of days after. But again, I hope you pretty much had a great Eid with your friends and family. On top of that, Elon Musk called off his deal to buy Twitter, which was quite shocking. And now Twitter is taking Musk to court, which is pretty interesting, surprisingly. And we finally got the first photos straight from the all-new James Webb Space Telescope, and they absolutely look fantastic. They don't disappoint. Obviously, you've seen the photos online, you'll know what I'm talking about, and again, it's the kind of stuff that no painter could pop up. It's the stuff that Picasso can't come up with, and it's just subhanAllah. The space is so beautiful, in a way. We got plenty of things to talk about, including Nothing Phone 1. So, without much ado, let's get rolling. After so many weeks of hype and really little teasers there and there, finally we got to see the Nothing Phone 1 sort of out in the flesh and in person. And it finally launched the phone, which is pretty cool. And it was a unique presentation, kind of going over all the unique features of the phone. And obviously a full sort of breakdown of specs and information, which is pretty interesting. And along with that, it was a launch party with a few sort of interviews with like major partners and executives, you know, who are part of getting the phone out into the world. So it's pretty interesting. The phone, the marketing for the phone pretty much is, quote, pure instant, less distractions, more soul. Just pure instant formed as a machine. Now, obviously, it's all corny, of course. They're trying to sort of talk the kind of design language that this phone is not really a phone. It's this machine that essentially connects you to the world in general. Now, I can get where Nothing is going for as a brand. It's trying to be different from all the Android, all the major Android phone brands, and obviously compared to OnePlus and Xiaomi and Realme and Oppo and Vivo. Those obviously emphasize a billion things, like the cameras, the display. Oh, it's 120 Hz. Oh, it's this. Oh, it's that. Here, obviously, nothing's like, well, it's just nothing but incredible. It's just a well-designed, it's a beautiful piece of technology and does quite a lot for you, actually, compared to other brands. So, obviously, they went over in the event itself a whole bunch of things, including the glyph interface, which you obviously talked about early on, which is essentially a grid of LEDs at the back of the phone, indicating a whole bunch of things. So, obviously, didn't listen to the previous episode, I'll recap here. If you put wireless earbuds to charge, wirelessly charge, there's a grid of LEDs around the cheek coil, and that glows. And then obviously there's LED rings on the cameras, and obviously around the sides. And basically they're supposed to tell you someone's calling, or if you're charging, or obviously you're recording a video or taking a photo, and it would light up. And apparently it makes it more joyful, which is pretty interesting in a way. On top of that, you essentially have a aluminium frame. And again, a Gorilla Glass on both sides, on the front and back. On top of that, it comes with its own skin of Android called NothingOS. And apparently has no bloatware. And it basically is fast. It's optimized for a lot of people out there. And it apparently has a kind of quick settings, which is its own take on the iOS control center, allowing you to control devices. And obviously, again, if you have third-party accessories, apparently there's a whole ecosystem that they're building out. So if you have an electric car, obviously you have a Tesla, or even you have earbuds or a smart thermostat, you can control that from that quick settings, which is pretty interesting in a way. And apparently it's fast. It's optimized. Obviously, it has that mid-range 778G Plus, which would help here. So that's pretty interesting in a way. They obviously talked in further detail. The cameras, for example. So you have dual 50-megapixel sensors. One main, another is ultra-wide in a way. So that's pretty cool in a way, interestingly. So if we talk about specifications over, if we go into greater detail here, that is, so over here, mainly in terms of processing power and obviously general specs, you have a Snapdragon 778G Plus, a 6 nanometer chip, clocked at roughly 2.4 gigahertz for the main cores, obviously, and then the efficient ones are obviously at 1.8 gigahertz. That's definitely expected. On top of that, you have dual SIM card slots, 8 or 12 gigabytes of LPDDR5 RAM, 128 or 256 gigabytes of storage. UFS 3.1 storage, by the way, so that's pretty cool to start with. It's IP53 water and dust resistant, in a way. You have 4500 milliamp hour battery, 33 watt wired fast charging, 15 watt wireless fast charging, Qi charging, and 5 watt reverse charging. And apparently, it's only compatible with Qualcomm Quick Charge 4.0 chargers. So you have one of those, it'll work comfortably without any issues. You also have a in-display fingerprint sensor, so that's pretty cool in a way. And on top of that, you have an accelerometer, a jet electronic compass, gyroscope, and a proximity sensor and ambient light sensor to go with. Onto and also you have dual stereo speakers, which is nice to have, generally speaking. If you talk about the camera, and this is where they haven't talked much about, but they did go over it briefly in the event. You have a 50 megapixel main Sony IMX766 sensor with an aperture of f/1.88, with there's roughly 1 by 1.56 inch sensor size, 1 micrometer pixel size. It's quite detailed for a Android phone, weirdly enough, but that's to be expected. You have optical image stabilization, and that's on the main sensor, along with a whole list of features, including HDR. Night mode is available with panorama mode, also is pretty cool. An extreme night mode is a thing. Night video is there. Fun fact: the presentation, obviously, that Carl Pei showed at the event, it was all recorded on the Nothing Phone 1, and there was especially a part where he walks outside of some theater and sort of walks back into the back of somewhere, and that was all recorded on the phone, and it looked like it. And I think it was not, obviously, there's no kind of illusion, but again, I'm sure I was trying to sort of convince people, because there tends to be this issue that when you record videos or take photos, it obviously may look like it's coming from the phone, but in fact it's from a professional camera. We've all been tricked before. I can list a long number of brands that have tricked us into thinking the cameras are high res or crispy from that phone, even though it wasn't. Huawei, Nokia, Itel, Infinix, you never know. So I think they were trying to convince people that they really shot this on a phone, and it kind of showed for itself. You don't have to. I mean, the it looked like a typical Android. It looked like a typical camera on an Android phone. If you've ever shot videos from your Android phone, it felt like it. So, and speaking of video, this sensor can shoot videos at up to 4K resolution at 30 frames a second, and FHD 60 fps is covered. 120 frames per second slow mo. And you also have full HD at 30 frames a second night mode. And also, because you're using the main sensor, it has OIS, so that's nice to have. And then along with all of that, you have a 50 megapixel Samsung J-in-1 sensor, ultra-wide angle camera, f/2.2 aperture, 1 by 2.76 inch sensor size. There's no OIS on this one, so that kind of sucks, but oh well. 114 degrees field of view, night mode, and 4 centimeters of macro. So if you zoom your camera wide, like deeply, as far as 4 centimeters into a subject, you can get macro mode. So that's pretty cool. In a way, you get HDR also, like on the main sensor. As for the camera on the front, your selfie camera, it's not gonna be significant, of course. It's a 16 megapixel Sony IMX 471 sensor, f/2.45 aperture, 1 by 3.1 inch sensor size, and again records full HD at 30 frames a second. So basically, it's supposed to be rock solid and stable. It's gotta work. It's gotta be top notch, as expected, as it should be for a phone of this caliber. And we talk about display. Speaking of the front facing camera, you have a 6.55 inch flexible OLED display. Has Gorilla Glass. It doesn't say which one, but it has Gorilla Glass, so that's nice to have. HDR10 Plus, 2400 by 1080 resolution at 402 ppi. So kind of compete with the iPhone. It's not full HD. It's not quad HD, but again, it's solid enough for the average user. You have 120 Hz refresh rate out of the gate. 1 million to 1 contrast ratio. 500 nits regular brightness. 1200 nits peak brightness. And again, the refresh rate on this phone is adaptive, so it goes from 60 Hz to 120 Hz. So that's pretty cool if you ask me. And again, as always, it weighs 193.5 grams. So that's pretty fascinating to say the least. You have gigabit LTE and 5G is included because of that mid-range Snapdragon chip, so that's pretty interesting. Wi-Fi 6 is included, and NFC is also included along with GPS, so that's pretty interesting nonetheless. So all around, it's a solid mid-range Android phone. Interesting enough, on their site, they've mentioned that they have 3 years of Android updates included, which is strange for a brand like Nothing. But then again, it's a brand new phone in a way, so it's a new brand, so they can't guarantee 5 or 6 years of updates. But again, it's pretty interesting in a way. And one more tidbit that I gotta plop in here, in a way, on top of the, you know, 120 Hz OLED display, the mid-range Snapdragon chip, dual 50-megapixel cameras, and much, much more, is that in terms of the environment, obviously they're trying to compete with that particular fruit. You know what I'm talking about, Apple. Speaking of which, they claim that the Nothing Phone 1 was made with 100% recycled aluminum. 50% of the plastic components have come from bio-based and recycled sources, and they've also used recycled tin welding? What do you call it? For soldering, yes, soldering the boards. But it's pretty interesting, and apparently also has recycled fiber packaging, so that's pretty interesting. But they would still do NFTs though, so isn't that more environmentally damaging than not including a charger in the box? Isn't it like counterintuitive, counterproductive, you could say? But then anyway, that's just my own opinion, to be honest, in a way. So yeah, what we have here in a nutshell is a 778G that is decently fast. It's apparently can do wireless charging, and that's been added, hence the charger, or hence the display, sorry, 778, the chip in question, 778G Plus in the name. So that's pretty cool. 33-watt fast charging, 120 Hz display, and IP53 water and dust resistance. Overall, it's a solid little device in a way, and it seems like Nothing is going for a different audience kind of way. It's again, this is CarPlay's new startup in a way compared to OnePlus, and obviously this time, instead of going for enthusiasts and nerds, trying to sort of offer a phone for mainstream consumers who could buy an iPhone or a Samsung but want something that is nothing crazy or over the top. It's just unique. It's the Nothing Phone 1. So I can clearly see where he's coming from and what kind of audience he's kind of go for. It was the kind that appreciates the design of the phone, simplicity. It's easy to use. You just turn it on, you just get right into it, and you don't have to go around dialing up settings or anything like that. So that's pretty interesting. And again, it looks nice, which is what's the important part of it all. And you're probably wondering about price now. So the Nothing Phone 1 costs around, and I've seen an event, starts at £399 British, so because they announced it in the UK, so £400 for the base spec, and goes all the way up to £500 for the 12GB of RAM and 256GB of storage, and there's a £450 variant with 8GB of RAM and 256GB of storage. So that's pretty interesting in a way. Overall, it's a really good phone, and again, I can clearly see what they're going for here, and man, CarPlay really has managed to strike up a lot of hype for this phone compared to any other Android brand out there, which is pretty interesting in a way. But then again, I clearly can see where they're going, who they're chasing here with the Nothing Phone 1. Those who buy iPhones and Galaxy devices. So that's pretty interesting in a way. But again, nothing extraordinary here as a phone. But then again, if you compare it to the Pixels and the Galaxies of the world, this can be straight up there with your Pixel 5a or 6a and say your Samsung A series phones. So again, nothing extraordinary, nothing over the top, or nothing again crazy or fast or extravagant. It's just a decent, beautiful phone nonetheless. All right, so we already talked about one Android phone. Let's talk about another one that's coming very fairly soon, probably straight after, really, in less than 2 weeks' time. The ASUS ZenFone 9. It's a pretty interesting compact. Apparently, it says a compact size, big possibilities. So, what we're looking at it here is basically a fairly compact phone. But yeah, it's basically the normal ASUS phone that we're going to be getting after these ROG Phone 6. That was an outrageous gaming phone, you could say, with a lot of specs and a lot of performance. In a way, here it's just, we're talking about an interesting, decent, everyday high-end phone in a way, for those who are buying the S22. So basically, you could say ASUS answer to the Galaxy S22. So ASUS is going to be doing an event on July 28th, so they'll be showing off the ZenFone 9. It's already been leaked because a video of the phone itself got leaked, and we got a whole bunch of tidbits. So it's going to have the Snapdragon 8 Plus Gen 1, 120 Hz display, 4300 milliamp hour battery, 3.5 headphone jack, yay, a IP68 water and dust resistance, so that's pretty cool, along with a 50 megapixel IMX766 camera with quote unquote gimbal stabilization. Now, if you have one of those Vivo X series phones, you know what the hell I'm talking about, the gimbal stabilization. So if it was in the video, then I'm pretty psyched to see what the ZenFone 9 will be all about. Hopefully they do release it almost everywhere compared to the previous ZenFone. So that's pretty interesting in a way. It's not significant, but then again, in less than 2 weeks we're going to see a new ZenFone. So that's pretty cool to see. And again, ASUS does make pretty good Android phones. They're not well supported, but again, they're pretty interesting nonetheless. All right, let's step back in the time machine and go back in time. And I want you to remember a time where Nokia made phones left, right, up, down, center. And everyone, your grandma, and everyone, and again, everyone, their grandma had a Nokia. If you remember back in 2006, Nokia released a phone. I don't remember the model number. I'm burping too much. I don't know why. Sorry, I digress. If you remember, I don't know if you remember this phone from Nokia. But they called it Express Music, or Express, yeah, the Express Music. And how it was the interesting phone. It had its top flipped around, so it has buttons and playback controls, and you could store music on it and play from it, and had a headphone jack, I believe. And it was an interesting phone back in the good old days. Obviously, Nokia has since no longer existed. It's obviously HMD Global has been around now. Obviously, HMD Global sort of runs Nokia, sort of, or sells Nokia phones with the Nokia name in it. And they've been releasing a lot of the older phones as like classic, like revivals, kind of basically refreshed versions of it for this day and age. But features like 4G and obviously ability access to modern apps like WhatsApp and YouTube and even TikTok, obviously, if it's to be believed, you can access it on iOS, so it has TikTok. Anyways. So they showed off a bunch of new phones, and one of them is pretty interesting, and you definitely would want to consider getting it if you're kind of hasn't have the nostalgia for such phones. The Nokia 5710 Express Audio. So it's like the Express Music feature phones of the old age, kind of yesteryear. So that's pretty interesting. All right, so I actually found the model here in a way. It's the Nokia 5310 Express Music. So it was a whole bunch of phones that, and it was released in 2006. So yeah, now my memory is pretty good here. It was a bunch of Nokia phones that basically let you play music, and it had an SD card slot so you couldn't like pop in and put more music on it, and dedicated playback controls like an iPod. In fact, okay, one of the models I remember was on the side, you had playback controls so you can play, pause, skip tracks. That's pretty cool. And now they created a new version of the 5310 that, and they call it the 5710, okay, not 5310, that was the older one, the 5710 Express Audio. Now, it looks like the older Express Music phones of the yesteryears, but except a cool little feature, a really cool feature, kind of a party trick, you can say. It's something to talk with your friends and family. This is a cool gift in a way. It comes with wireless earbuds. I remember, side note, I remember, I think I've seen on the internet somewhere, maybe YouTube or TikTok, I don't remember, but I've seen wireless earbuds in a way that had, I had seen a feature phone that had wireless earbuds on the top, or it's probably a smartwatch, I don't remember, but that's a pretty cool feature. Wireless earbud, obviously, the phone here will probably run iOS, but the problem is, or some proprietary OS, but it won't have access to Spotify. or some music player. But this actually comes with wireless earbuds, so you literally slide up the phone and you have wireless earbuds that you can access, and you can wear them and obviously connect them to your phone or any other device through Bluetooth. That's pretty neat. That's pretty sweet. Not gonna lie. This phone here, what we have here is it's a phone that has earbuds inside, and you can pop them out and wear them. That's pretty cool. And you have a 1450 milliamp hour battery. Interesting enough. Now there's no information about the earbuds, so I think they'll be just normal Nokia earbuds that they've been selling already, and it's in this phone. Interestingly, I really want to get this though, and I feel like this is an interesting little party trick. I definitely want to buy this in the future, like a kind of a nice nostalgia, like the 3310 remastered version, which is pretty cool in a way. So fortunately, like the older phones, it has that removable battery that you always get. And you have 6 hours of talk time, 20 hours of 4G standby time. The earbuds, though, you get 4 hours of playback on a single charge. So that's pretty interesting here. It doesn't come with KaiOS. It comes with Symbian. So that's pretty annoying. But you get microSD card support like the good old days. So that's pretty cool in a way. You have a headphone jack. You have a 2.4-inch QVGA display. It's like a feature phone already. FM support and microUSB and Bluetooth 5.0 and dedicated audio controls, again like the Express Music phones of yesteryear. So that's pretty cool nonetheless, you could say. So you're wondering about the price of this, of these earbuds. These are this is gonna cost £75 or $89. So it's a nice gift to have for your nerdy friends, you could say, or those who reminisce the days of Nokia phones, because you know Nokias are not that hard, are rare to find. They're easy, but they're again rare to find. They're hard to find, let's just say that. But again, it's pretty cool to see that they revived the Express Music. I was thinking, honestly, it was one of those old Nokia phones that they should make a revived version of for this day and age, with 4G and some nice little tidbits and features. This is a really cool gadget, not gonna lie. And especially it comes with wireless earbuds. Obviously, if you have a phone, a faster, modern Android phone, you wouldn't really need it. But it's nice. It's both nice, a nice backup phone, potentially. And earbuds. You can never go wrong with free earbuds, you know, not gonna lie. For £75 or $90, it's a nice gift. It's a nice toy. It's a nice gadget to have. Honestly, this is a pleasant phone. Not gonna lie, it's really cool, like in a way. So yeah, it's a pretty cool gadget, in a way. But no, seriously, this is a device I'm absolutely geeking over. This is like, I'm nerding out, man, because I really wanted one of those Nokia phones growing up. I always found it cool for some reason. I mean, I really want to get this. Like, I really want to save up money and get this. I probably usually say this for a lot of devices, but this one is special. This one is something else, in a way. And we're already talking about phones now, moving on. Motorola, they've teased the new upcoming Razr. We've talked about early in the year, at the start of this year, that Motorola is going to be releasing a brand new Razr. That's pretty cool in a way. But more than everything, now they've shown off some teasers. And this teaser, they posted on Weibo. And that shows the outer display of the new Razr, potentially, with a clock face and a whole bunch of modes. You're going to get dual cameras, as you see in the teaser, in a way. This is going to be a step up from the original revived Motorola Razr, and that one obviously had its own flaws and issues, but it looked like they're making a nicer variant of the Razr. Apparently it'll be boxier compared to the previous one. Apparently it will be taking design cues potentially from the Z Flip 3. Pretty interesting in a way. I think they already covered the nostalgia, so they're going to go for making a very nice flip phone. Folding flip phone, by the way. On top of that, this could potentially come with a Snapdragon 8 Plus Gen 1, like most high-end phones of this day and age. 6.7-inch FHD Plus OLED display. And again, a lot of nice tidbits for a phone of this caliber and price. So yeah, about the launch date. Apparently, it's going to be soon. So hopefully in a couple of weeks or months. Maybe they're going to announce this closer to when the Z Flip 4 comes out. The Z Flip 4 will probably come out and be like, boom, the new Razr. So who knows? That's how it's gonna pan out potentially. We kind of don't know when it's gonna come out, but this is gonna be coming out later in the year, in a way. And speaking of foldables and the Galaxy Z Flip 4 and Z Fold 4, we got a leak now. First of many leaks potentially in the next couple of weeks, because early next month is the unpacked event, hopefully, for the foldables, the Z Flip 4 and the Z Fold 4. So that's pretty interesting. Ivan Blass leaked out. Basically, he found somewhere on the internet a bunch of SKUs for the Z Fold 4. So what we can see from this little leak of SKUs is that the Z Fold 4 will come in a bunch of colors and storage capacities. So it'll come in three storage capacities, 128, 256, and 512 gigabytes of storage. And comes in four cool colors, potentially. Beige, burgundy red, sorry if I butchered that pronunciation. Gray/green, so kind of like the S22 gray/green. Phantom black, like the S22 Ultra. Right, pretty interesting, in a way. It doesn't say about if there's a 1 terabyte Z Fold 4. Hopefully they do that. Pretty much. There was a rumor going around that we'd see a 1 terabyte Z Fold 4, but who knows? It might happen, may not happen. We don't know. We'll see. That's kind of solid in a way. Then again, about pricing, I probably expect it to cost more or less the same like last year in a way, so that's pretty interesting in a way. Alright, this is silly, but okay. So we got a bunch of, apparently, for Emoji 15, the Unicode Consortium apparently has 31 draft emojis that they've gotten this year. And they're obviously, and some of them are basic updates to previous sort of emojis. But here's the emojis we're going to be getting. A shocked earthquake emoji, face is vibrating left and right. So it's emoji, basically, for earthquake. A light blue, black and pink, dark pink sort of heart emoji, and a left, sort of a left, basically when you're about to do a high five or like a kind of no sir, no thank you sir, you know, so for left and right and for all skin tones. That's pretty cool. A, I don't know if it looks like a pony, but look, it kind of looks like a pony emoji, and then a moose emoji along with a dark bird, a black bird. I know I'm pronouncing it horribly wrong. Yeah, there's an article online on this, so you can go check it out for yourself later on. So a wing, a single wing emoji, a duck emoji, a sponge, a jellyfish, a weird lilac plant. I know I'm pronouncing it horribly wrong, so again, forgive me if you for again looking at it wrongly. A ginger. So if you're into ginger, you get a ginger emoji now later on. Green peas. One of those. What are those fans, I would say? A updated Sikh symbol, it looks like it. And also the updated wireless emoji on top of the Mariana and obviously the hair chop. So that's pretty cool in a way. Apparently, there are 31 recommended emojis for Emoji 15. And apparently that's less than 112 recommendations last year. Apparently, this is, in fact, it's the smallest number of new emojis that Unicode has ever recommended at any one time. Pretty interesting. That's surprising. I mean, what can I say? It's already covering all bases, let's just say that. So, cool, I'd say. Hopefully, you'll get to see these emojis down the road, in a way. And finally, Sega. So, you probably remember the Genesis, the Mega Drive. It's an iconic games console. And obviously, there was a kind of trend a few years ago of all the three big, probably all the big console makers previously, like Nintendo, Sony, Sega, launching retro consoles for their very old consoles, like kind of cute, compact versions of the iconic games consoles for those people who probably missed out, or again, for nostalgia purposes, wanted to get one of those retro consoles. So much so that already AliExpress is like chock full of little retro consoles, like their streaming sticks. They look like your Fire TV sticks, and you look like a little games console, and you plugged it in and got thousands of games. And obviously, Sega obviously released their own sort of miniature, cute version of the Genesis, featuring like 50 games. And now we have a second iteration of that, weirdly. So you have a whole bunch of games included on top of that. So you have 50 games, including Sonic CD, Virtua Racing, OutRun, and Fantasy Zone. Apparently, they were never released on the Sega Genesis. So, in a way, so That's pretty interesting. And obviously it looks like a Sega Genesis. And obviously if you're in Europe, you'll get the Mega Drive Mini too. So that's pretty cute in a way. It's basically a Genesis or a Mini Drive in a way. And it has all those games, including Virtua Racing. So I'm definitely kind of psyched. This console will cost $103.8, obviously if you're buying it from the US, from Japan. I don't know if it's going to be released in Europe and North America, but I really hope Sega does release it in Europe and North America. So that's pretty interesting nonetheless. In case you're kind of curious, the Genesis Mini 2 kind of sort of, you could say, special edition console will be released on October 27th. In case you're kind of curious, like I just had to add this in post. All right, and that actually leads us to the end of today's episode. What do you think of everything you've heard? Let me know. I'm on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at said_mountain99. Follow me there if you can. Subscribe wherever you're listening right now so you don't miss another episode of Mountain's Gadget Talk. With that all being said, again, till next week, this is your boy Mountain signing out. Wherever you are, whatever you're up to, have a lovely and awesome day. All right? Thank you for listening. And again, have an awesome day. All right? Ciao.